boxes on the hillside.
Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You know, I'm always interested in looking at the facts of where people move to, and you found some information about people migrating from one area to another. Tell us about that.
Metro area to metro area, about 8.5 million people move between the metropolitan areas. And among the largest migration flows is between Los Angeles metro area to the Riverside, California area. You've got about 90,000 people that move each year. But interesting, number two is 54,000 move from the Riverside metro area to the Los Angeles area. So I don't know what happens there.
I don't know
what's
going on there. Is there baseball teams in each of those cities or something?
Yeah, something. They go there and they don't like it and they go back. I really don't know.
I don't know either.
And then New York, I thought they all came to South Florida, but apparently they go to the Philadelphia area. Oh. You get about 27,000 a year that move between New York metro to the Philadelphia area.
Well, you know, in that report too, it says among the largest migration flows between counties, when we talk about, you know, we're out of South Florida, right?
Correct.
So what are the stats for the last 5 years regarding South Florida?
Florida area, it's Miami-Dade going to Broward County.
Okay.
And then the next big county is Los Angeles going to San Bernardino County. And then Los Angeles to Orange County. So those seems to be three largest county-to-county moves.
Oh, that's very interesting. All right. So also I want to discuss this topic of home buyers are dealing with longer timelines and more costs.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this in the last couple of segments, that there's a lot of changes that took place on October 3rd. It's basically a 1,900-page new rule book, if you will, for the lenders and the title companies. And basically, these changes, it's also benefit the consumer, more transparency, so you have better understanding of what's going on with your costs, and you'll know in advance of going to a closing table what you need to bring and what it's actually costing you. But in all of this, it's costing, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, the lenders and settlement companies, they have to hire additional staffing to handle all of this. So it's going to cost to originate a loan, it's going to rise from $4,500 to $7,000.
And who's going to bear that cost?
Well, you know, we haven't seen it yet, but you think it always rolls down.
Yeah.
We're going to eventually see it. So that's one of the concerns that they're already feeling it's going to affect us.
Well, how many pages of those 1,900 have you actually read?
Yeah, one.
Yeah.
How it affects me.
Is your name listed there?
No, basically what people just need to understand, it'll actually be better for the consumer. So
yeah.
It's good changes.
It's just going to take longer, and especially as it's getting implemented.
That's right. Give it a couple of months and it'll all be smoothed out.
Right, okay. Now, we know that as of this airing anyway, there's a major storm headed for Mexico, a kind of a one in a number of centuries kind of storm. And there was a study recently that risked the damage from storm surge basically in the United States. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they were looking at the 100-year hurricane, which is, you know, it's a 1% chance of it occurring, you know, during the calendar year. So if you look at the most devastating areas, the most vulnerable areas throughout the United States, the Tampa Bay region was ranked number one as the most vulnerable city with an estimated, you know, if it's something like that occurred, of $175 billion with a B. And then that was followed by New Orleans at $130 billion. And then New York City, number three, at $100 million with an M.
Yeah.
So, you know, these storm surges can do quite a lot of damage. You look at some other cities, Fort Myers, Galveston, Houston, Texas, Sarasota, and Charleston. Those were the top eight.
You know, if any of my listeners come from Tampa, I'm sure you're shaking your head up and down because Tampa gets a rainstorm and it floods. I mean, it's just the way it's configured, the shoreline and, you know, the sea level and all of that. I don't know exactly why the configuration is such the way it is, but it floods very, very easily. I can't imagine what it would look like after a 1 in 100 year type storm.
Yeah, you know, and I thought New Orleans was bad, but I was surprised to learn that Tampa is worse.
Right, exactly. All right, as always, I'm going to move on to Terry Story's Real Estate Survival Guide, one of my favorite segments. And this is Ask a Real Estate Pro from Gary Singer and from the Sun Sentinel. Security deposit can't cover missed rent. I'll read the question. My former landlord is keeping my $1,500 security deposit as daily rent for the days she did not rent out the apartment to someone else. Is that allowed? Also, does the landlord have an obligation to find a new tenant right away?
Yeah. Well, unless the lease says otherwise, your security deposit is for material condition of the property and not payment for rent. I run across this all the time. You know, they want to withhold that security deposit. The way it's supposed to go down, the landlord must notify you of their claim of the deposit within 30 days of the move-out date. And if this does not happen, then your landlord does not return you that money, then you can file a claim against them and sue them to get it back.
Right.
So, you know, it's not supposed to happen that way. Don't even offer it. They're supposed to use it for damages only.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're renting, quite often you have to pay first, last month's rent, and then a security deposit. I would think that last month's rent would go for something if you skipped out or you didn't pay, and that would pay for it, but not the security deposit.
That's right. Yeah. They're two separate things. And I guess if you both come to a terms and agreement to it, it can be done if you put everything in writing. But know that that's not supposed to be used and cannot be used for rent.
Terry, I want to ask you a question. Do you find that when people are shopping for a mortgage that they do enough shopping that they contact multiple lenders and the like?
You know, I don't. Generally, what they'll do is they'll contact one, or they might make a couple phone calls, but they're not asking about the interest rate. They're asking about, you know, maybe the closing costs. They're not really paying attention to what the interest rate are. And the interest rates do vary from lender to lender. A lot of times it's a matter of who answers the phone and who's nice on the phone to them when they call.
Yeah.
But it's really important to understand that these are long-term costs. You know, they worry about the little things. And you take a 30-year mortgage with all the compound interest, a quarter point over time can really add up.
It does add up. And people are so focused on the points and really not on the rate that it can cause a problem. Unfortunately, we're out of time. My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. She can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.